Amen. Good morning. Does everybody have an update on the game? I'm kidding. It was a joke. Good morning. We're here for the King and the King only. Amen? Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're just going to jump right into it. Can you turn this down a little bit, Isaiah? Please, just a little bit. Thank you. Luke chapter 18 is where we're going to start. We're going to just dive right in because the Lord wants to teach us something this morning or remind us of something, I should say, for a lot of us as well. And that is that he's enlisting us, right? And just kind of what Jill was saying, he's enlisting us in his work here on earth. You have been enlisted, Fabian. You've been enlisted. I've been enlisted. Everyone in here, God calls and enlists your help into his work on this earth. And we're going to see what that looks like in the context of prayer this morning. In Luke 18, verse 1 through 8 says this. And we get the right off front, we get the instruction of why Jesus told this parable, and it's in verse 1. It says this: he tells them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and to not lose heart. All right, so that is the overlining, underlining, whatever you want to call it. It is the definition of why Jesus is giving this parable: to teach them to always pray, to be persistent in your prayers and in your supplication and in your petition, to be persistent and not lose heart, not to just get discouraged when you don't see something happen, not to get discouraged when you don't see the answer right away, but to not lose heart, to continue in faith and persistence. And he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, all right? And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. Give me justice against my adversary. Everybody say, Lord, give me justice against my adversary. Lord, amen. For a while, this judge refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me and persisting, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And then the Lord said this. This is what he was trying to illuminate here. Hear what the unrighteous judge says, Jesus says. And will not God give justice to his chosen ones? Will God not give justice to the elect, those who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them, and he will do it quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Heavenly Father, we take this moment aside and we open our hearts and our minds to you to receive, God, what you're asking of us, what you're teaching us, what you're showing us. And Lord, I pray that it takes deep root within our lives and produces bountiful fruit for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as followers of Christ, one of the great things that we anticipate is his return, isn't it? Man, I can't wait. It's like, God, let's go already. I can't wait for his return. It's something that we anticipate. It's something that we long for. Something that we are like groaning for in a sense, aren't we? We're groaning for it. And one of the areas in which I think should shape our imagination when we think about Christ's return is the final judgment of God. That one day when God's final judgment over all creation, that God is going to bring perfect justice to all of creation. What a beautiful, beautiful image that looks like. If we understand all of creation, it says in Romans that all of creation is groaning. All of creation is groaning and waiting for that wonderful day. What a beautiful, awesome day it's going to be when God brings his perfect, righteous judgment to this earth, and it is final. What a great and awesome day that will be. The day when God's justice is demonstrated and brought to all of creation. One of the things that I want us to grab a hold of this morning is that justice is at the heart of all that God is doing and that all he has already done. Isaiah 30:18, we get a glimpse of God's longing to demonstrate his justice. He says, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he's going to rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. And blessed are all who wait on him. Rest assured this morning, before we go any further, that we serve a just God. He has the righteous answer to every wrong that has ever been committed. The righteous answer. and he will see to it that perfect justice will be served. That's good news. No act of evil, no act of injustice, no act of oppression will ever go from his sight. It will never be done in secret. There is no wrong that will not pass the judge's courtroom unnoticed. As a matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us that nothing in all of creation is hidden before the eyes of God. Nothing in all of creation is hidden before God's sight. It goes on to say that actually everything is uncovered. Everything is exposed. Everything is laid bare and naked before the very eyes of the one to whom we will all have to give an account to one day. Justice. God is a God of justice. Nothing passes by his eyes. He will see to it that every right will be wronged. I want to take a look this morning at the very first instance of injustice recorded in Scripture. If you want to turn with me, you can. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 4 just for a moment. We're going to look at something very specific this morning, especially as we prepare to come around the table and take communion at the end of the service. And we're going to learn something about justice. We're going to learn something about God and about the injustice in this world. And that very first instance of injustice recorded in Scripture, it's a story that we all know well. It's a story of two brothers, Cain and Abel. And these two brothers go before God with their worship and their offering, and they bring a sacrifice and offering to God. Cain brings his sacrifice, Abel brings his. God accepts Abel's offering but denies Cain's. Cain gets jealous. He gets enraged. He gets angry. And so what he does is then he lures his brother out into an open field and commits the very first murder. Slaughters his brother. Slaughters his brother. But God sees this act of injustice. And then what does he do? He goes and he approaches Cain about it. And that's what we're going to pick up in Genesis 4, verse 9. We learn something here about injustice. In verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, he says, "Where is your brother Abel?" He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for my brother?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen. The very blood, the voice of your brother's blood, it cries out to me from the ground." The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. That word in the Hebrew for cry out is a word that expresses the most desperate and extreme need. It is a cry of exasperation. It is a cry of desperation for revenge and justice. And so if we even paraphrase that, God is saying here, your brother's blood is desperately crying out to me for revenge. Your brother's blood is desperately crying out from the ground for revenge. And so this passage shows us something very important. It shows us not only that does God see Abel's injustice, but God is actually, he's literally hearing the blood cry out to him as it melts and seeps into the soil of the earth. It's screaming out and crying out for justice. Crying out in desperation for rightness to be done. Crying out for the wrong to be made right. Desperately crying out for righteousness. Abel's blood would cry out in the same way that Israel would cry out later. When they cry out to God in their Egyptian bondage and they cry out to God to rescue them from this injustice of being oppressed and in slavery. It's the same word used there. It's a word of desperation, of crying out for this wrong to be made right. And there's so many other instances in Scripture where this word cry out, this Hebrew word cry out, is used. And each place that it's used, it is used at the most horrific and horrifying, unbearable experiences that any person could possibly experience. And the point I'm trying to make is this. Injustice will always cry out until every wrong has been righted. Injustice will always cry out until every wrong has been righted. Until that awesome and glorious day of the final judgment of God, when he ushers in his perfect eternal justice, those cries of injustice will not be quiet. And as humanity, we've all suffered the effects of injustice. Every single one of us have suffered the effects of injustice. All of creation is groaning and suffering the injustices that was caused by sin brought into this world. Our globe, this earth, the very sphere of this globe and the plants and nature and all of it, you don't have to be a scientist to understand and see that the earth is groaning and crying out. It's been affected by the injustices of sin. The fact that our bodies right in this very moment are decaying is an injustice. It's not fair. It's not right because our bodies were never created to experience death. You weren't created. You weren't designed to experience death. God says as He put eternity in your hearts. You were designed for eternity. And so it's unjust that right now your body is heading towards decay. It's not fair. It's not right. It's unjust. All of humanity, the brokenness of our minds and our bodies is the result of injustice coming. And we're desperate for wholeness. We're desperate for restoration of the mind and body. And we are all part of this creation that have been deeply wounded by injustices that have been caused by sin. But the good news this morning, turn to somebody and say, I came here to be reminded of some good news. This is the good news. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of my times I try to tear it down and make it as abysmal as can be so that Jesus is the superstar of this whole thing. But the truth and the good news is that thankfully, God did not just bypass our misery and our injustice and the sin. Thank God that He did not ignore it. Thank God that He did not just sidestep over our pain and our suffering that we face each and every day. But the good news is not only does He see our injustice, the injustice of all of creation, not only does He hear it screaming out and groaning and crying out to Him for revenge, but the good news this morning is that He actually chose to come down here and enter into it Himself. Your God chose to come down here and know pain. He chose to know suffering. He chose to literally come down here and be personally familiar with the injustices of this world that you and I experience. All so that He could bring His righteousness to our decaying situation. Where the first blood spilt and screamed out, and He responded. And ironically, His response to the injustices that blood once again. And of course, I'm talking about the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, read by Jill this morning. You have come to Jesus, the one who presents us with a new covenant to which Jesus is the mediator between us and God. And you've come to this sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy and forgiveness rather than like the blood of Abel which cried out in desperation for revenge. What I want you to see this morning is that the blood of Jesus is the complete reversal of our desperate cry of injustice when it was first heard. When Cain was killed, when Abel was killed, when Cain killed Abel. Jesus' blood reverses it all. The God of justice entered into the injustice of the world, and He bore the weight of our injustice in the form of a wooden cross. And in the end, He would die on that cross. And just imagine likely His blood dripping as well. It's releasing from His body and is falling to the same earth that He created, the same soil, and His blood is seeping into the earth. And His blood, like Abel's, still cries out. But it speaks a better word than Abel's. It speaks of mercy. It speaks of rightness. It speaks of justice coming to this earth that He created. The first blood that was spilled cries out of injustice. God, desperately bring rightness to this wrong. The blood of Jesus that seeps into this earth cries out and says, justice has come. Justice has come. The righteous answer to every wrong has come to you. The blood that he spilled is the righteous blood that cries out to God. And it cries out on behalf of all of creation. And his blood executes perfect, righteous justice. This is such good news, guys. This is such good news. And so how does this connect to us? How does this relate to us? And how does this really relate back to Luke 18? Remember that parable that Jesus started out with. It's a story of a persistent widow. Remember the very first thing that he says, the reason he's telling this parable is to enlist us in prayer. To enlist us, his people, to cry out to him day and night in prayer. In faith, in desperation, a crying out to him. And to be enlisted with faith and persistent in prayer. And Jesus said to them, remember at the end, he said, will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones? Will not God bring about justice to those who cry out to him day and night to intercede? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and he will see that they get it quickly. How many of you think that God has a different definition of quickly than we do? As redeemed humanity, and this is where it enlists us, this is where we attach ourselves to the story. It's a beautiful, awesome picture. We've already been lumped into it. We are the beneficiaries of this, right? Of this blood that came. And so as redeemed humanity, the people who have already been purchased by the blood of Christ, you have now become children of God, citizens of the kingdom. You and I have the right now to bring just claims before God on the basis of what Jesus Christ did. That what one day will come to complete fruition where in Revelation 21, it tells us that every tear is going to be wiped from their eyes and there's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more mourning. There's not going to be any more crying or pain. That what happened through the death of Jesus, what I personally believe is through his death and his resurrection, is that future hope Jesus came and brought into a present reality that is available to you today and to me today. I truly believe that with everything inside of me. And so that means that you and I can now bring persistent just claims before God, prayers of desperation, crying out to him to execute justice on behalf of us and our loved ones. In the past 2 weeks, our basement has flooded 3, maybe 4 times. Yay. Our toilets just kept on overflowing and overflowing. We don't even know what's taking place. The plumbers fixed it, but they don't know the cause of it. But it's just, it's just one of those things. It's just pain in the butt. Everything's ruined in the basement. And so, of course, we enlist our insurance company, don't we? And we made a claim, an insurance claim. We have a just claim, don't we? We have a just claim, a legal right to pursue everything that was promised to us from the insurance company. Thank God. You know? It's a beautiful thing. And in the same way, this morning, you have just claims before God. You have just claims. Did you know that you have a legal right to God's provision? As children of the King, as citizens of his kingdom, when God makes a promise to his family, you have a legal right to stand and claim those promises for yourself and for your loved ones. And understand this morning that when we present a just claim before God and we proclaim these injustices, God, this is an injustice. Come and bring your righteousness. Come and make right what is wrong here. When you do that, we're not coming before God with arrogance or being presumptuous, are we? We're actually simply asking for what is rightly ours as children of the King, rightly ours as citizens of the kingdom. We are calling upon heaven to come and invade earth. And that's what God has enlisted us to do, to bring heaven to earth. And so the Father in heaven is not irritated when we come to him and we ask him to execute justice. Why? Because he is the embodiment of perfect justice. And so utilize it, church. God is calling upon you to be persistent in your prayer life. to bring these just claims before God. God, make right this area and that area. This is not right, God. And so what you're doing is you're simply calling on God to be who He is and to do what He does best, bringing a righteous answer to every wrong. And so when you have a claim of injustice, God, church, I'm encouraging you. I'm imploring you this morning to rise up in this way. This is something that God has been really challenging me to do, to be persistent in prayer. Not to just offer it up one time, but to be constantly on my knees and crying out with a desperation. Lord, that song, God, break my heart for what breaks yours, it's kind of in line with that. God, I don't want to be indifferent when I see things like that happened over the last 72 hours. I know so many people of my generation who can say that, man, since Columbine, this is all we've known. This is all we've known. And so I've even repented before the Lord. God, I'm sorry that it just doesn't, I'm not even fazed by it anymore. I'm sorry that when I see it in the news and I see these atrocities happening, like over the last 72 hours, God, I'm sorry that I'm just so desensitized to it. God, I'm sorry that it doesn't bother me. What is wrong with me that it doesn't bother me? God, break my heart for injustice. It's all I've ever known. And so this is what God has been doing in my life. And so he's urging me, and I believe, and I'm supposed to share this with you all. Church, be persistent in faith and call upon God. Call upon God for His righteous answer to be made manifest in our earth. God, that sickness that person is experiencing, it's not right. It's unjust. And so, Lord God, I'm calling upon You for healing. Lord, that relationship, or this relationship that I have, Lord God, is being torn apart. And I know, God, it's an injustice. It's not right. It's not what You designed for this relationship that I have with this person. And so, God, I'm asking You and I'm crying out to You in desperation to bring restoration to this relationship. Because I know it's what You desire, and I know it's what is righteous before Your very eyes. God, that brokenness that person is sensing and feeling, God, I'm asking You, it's not right that they're broken. It's not right that their spirit is broken in such a way. So bring wholeness to them, Lord God. God, it's not right that we experience rejection. God, we were designed to know acceptance and acceptance with You. God, it's not right that there's loneliness and grief. God, bring comfort in this area to this person or to myself. God, it's not right that people are suffering in the spiritual bondages and oppression, that they can't seem to escape addiction. God, it's not right. It's not just. And so, Lord God, I'm calling upon You for liberty and freedom. Bring justice in that area, oh God Almighty. God, where that person is experiencing weariness of the soul, of the heart, God, bring them rest. God, it's not right that family is facing dysfunction. That's not what You desire, God. Bring, Lord God, healing and wholeness and health to that from that family. It's not right, God, that people I love face depression and anxiety. It's not right. It's unjust. And so, God, I'm asking You to bring joy and hope and peace to their minds. It's not right that we are sitting here in fear of our country and fearful of the things that may happen to our children. God, we stand upon every promise that was made. And, Lord God, we ask for Your peace in this situation. You see in the picture? This is what God has enlisted us to do. This is a part that we can play as the body of Christ. It's what God is calling us to do. I was on my way into church this morning, and I was just listening to K-Love, and I was like, man, I just wish there was worship music on. And it was just one of the, you know, the nice fluffy songs that they do. But I just sat there and I listened to it, and it just hit me right in the gut. I can't even remember what the word was, but it had to do exactly with this. It's like, God, may I cry out to You and desperation for this earth, for my loved ones, to bring justice, to bring the righteous answer to the injustice that they experience. Mike, could I invite you to come on up, please, and just begin to play, you know, just begin to play the guitar for us this morning. Thank you very much. Psalm 102:17 says this, He will listen. It tells us that God will listen and He will respond to the prayers of the destitute. And He will not despise their plea. And one of the prayers that I've even been praying for myself, like I just shared with you, God, make me destitute. Break my heart for what breaks yours. I know the justice, right answer. I've experienced salvation. I know the grace and the peace and the mercy and the forgiveness that you've shown me. I've seen justice come to my life. I've seen it. God, but there are areas in my life that are unjust, and people I love experiencing injustice that is caused by the decay of this world, caused by sin. It's not right. It's not just. But what we saw this morning in that parable of that persistent widow in her faith is that she kept coming to Him. She kept coming to Him. She kept coming. She would not rest until she saw justice done. She would not rest until she saw justice done. She came again and 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 again. Jesus says, will not God give justice to those who cry out to Him day and night? Will God not give justice to those who come in persistence of faith? What's the whole point of this persistency thing? Why do we have to just keep coming? God, I prayed it once. I have faith that You'll just do it. What is this need for me to come face to face with You, cry out to You with desperation over and over and over again? You know, I'm sure that many of you have been praying prayers for justice to be done, you know, in areas of justice. And you may not have seen an answer yet. The only way to describe it is there's a delay right now. Let me say this. You may be delayed this morning to the answers. You may be delayed this morning to the benefits of justice coming to that situation, but you have not been denied. That's the truth of the gospel. You may be delayed, but you have not been denied. And I absolutely believe in the delay. I've learned to embrace the delay. I've learned to just accept the delay, but to continually come persistent to Him in faith and assurance that He is who He says He is, that He is a God of justice, and that I will bring my just claim before Him over and over and over again until I see justice done in that area. God, I haven't seen results yet, but I still believe in You. I still believe in this blood that was shed on Calvary, that seeped into the ground. And that blood speaks of righteousness, and it speaks of mercy. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of perfect justice coming. And that future hope is now a present reality for you and I. So I believe that God delays His answers for righteous reasons. I heard it said, one person say, persistence is a great instructor in the school of Christian growth. God does not become more willing to answer because of our persistence, but we may become more capable of receiving the answer. God, make us ready to receive that answer. That's what that persistence does. Over and over and over again, crying out in desperation to see this right made wrong. One thing I know that as an attack of the enemy is to remove you from that place of persistent faith before God. Is anything you can do, every scheme and tactic is to just take you and move you from being able to stand before your God in prayer and faith. God, give me justice against my adversary. Give me justice against my adversary. Could I ask the ushers to come forward, please? Those of you who are going to serve us in communion. And if you guys would just begin to, you know, begin to distribute these emblems. Persistent prayer causes us to come into His presence over and over again. It brings us into His presence over and over again. expresses our trust and our faith in him over and over again. And therefore, it brings glory to God. So as this cracker and this wine are distributed, just take a moment. I'll get mine, thank you. And as Mike leads us and just sings a song, an abbreviated version of the song, we'll come back and we'll pray for it. But use this time as you hold this grape juice and this cracker and begin to be persistent in prayer, guys. Just be persistent in prayer right now to the Lord. Well, where there is justice in a loved one, a friend, a family member, another believer, just injustices in this world, bring that just claim before God right now in this very moment.